Hello and welcome to Simply Save podcast at Money Control. I'm your host Kirtana Tiwari, and this is our special week-long series where we manage money during pandemic times. COVID-19 has shaken up our money box like never before, whether we're talking about our investments, the possibility of income loss because our businesses have slowed down, or worse, a job loss, or just that our holiday plans have been cancelled and refunds are in a limbo. Our money box is under attack. What can we do to safeguard it, and how can we minimize the damage done to our wallets? Over the next 5 days, we're going to pick up 5 unique areas where our money lives have gotten impacted due to COVID-19. And our personal finance editor, Kezad Adijania, is here with us to talk about all these burning issues. Today, he'll be telling us about how money can be best managed during these times. Hi, Kezad. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Kirtana. Good to be back.
Right. It's bad enough that our businesses have slowed down, but many people's salaries and regular income have either stopped or slowed down, especially those in hotel, travel, and tourism sectors. What do you suggest we do in these times when our monthly income is getting hurt?
Kirtana, first things first, you have to take action about those aspects of your money box or your wallet that is in your hand. Okay, your salary, your business income, after all, depends on your business. Your salary depends on your employer. But what is that one thing in your hand? The one thing in your hand is about your expenses, your discretionary expenses. Okay, your monthly budget, that's in your hands. So you have to first look at your monthly budget, cut down on your discretionary expenses. Now, because of this lockdown and because of the fact that you have been sitting at home, your eating out and entertainment expenses must anyways have been cut by now. But look where else you can cut. Okay, like for example, I'm hearing a lot of chatter around on social media around, you know, what movies can you watch, what TV series can you watch, you know, Netflix and Amazon Prime and now Disney Hotstar and all of that. So, you know, ask yourself whether you need all these streaming services or whether you need only one. Okay, so that's one way of your discretionary, these are all your discretionary expenses that you need to cut down. Okay, online shopping is another area where I've seen people almost compulsively and obsessively doing online shopping. That needs to come down as well, because you don't know how long this lockdown is going to last. You don't know how long this work from home is going to last. And the economy has gone for a toss. Many industries have also started to go for a toss. So you need to also start sort of looking at your monthly budget very strictly right away. Okay, don't go for any big ticket expenses right away. Don't go for any consumer durables. Don't try and buy any consumer durables during these times. I mean, of course, you're in a lockdown situation, so you can't really go out shopping for these items. But even once the lockdown gets lifted, okay, the economic conditions are going to be around for quite some time. So whatever we are discussing now will hold true, not just during the lockdown, but even after the lockdown, maybe even for a year or so. So big ticket expenses, consumer durable shopping, discretionary shopping, that needs to be controlled.
Right. And Kezad, how do we manage our loans and EMI?
So that is, you know, one thing where you have got some kind of a leeway from RBI. And we'll discuss this in one of our later episodes in detail. But just to put things in a nutshell, there is something called as the moratorium on your loans that RBI has offered. So basically, you can now postpone paying your March, April, and May 2020 EMIs if you are facing a financial crisis. Okay, so that's one thing that's given to you. But the thing is that, and of course, we'll discuss this in detail later, Kirtana, but opt for the moratorium only if you are really, really pushed to the brink. If you can afford to pay your EMIs, please pay off all your EMIs as soon as you can. And that pertains to not only the pandemic times, but it's an evergreen kind of an suggestion that I have. Okay, now, even if your income hasn't stopped and you can still service your loans, what you should do is this, that, you know, you need to take a good hard look at what are the different loans that you're paying, prioritize which loans are costlier and which loans aren't, try and pay off your costlier loans first, like, for example, your credit card. Credit card loans are very, very costly. Okay, the interest rates can go up to 40 to 45% per annum. It's like a very toxic loan sitting out there in your money box. And, you know, many people don't pay the credit card bills on time. They keep revolving their credit card bills. And before you know it, the interest gets added up and it gets compounded. So it's dangerous. It's toxic. Okay, it's poisonous. So pay off your credit card loans if you have credit card loans. Pay off your personal loans. if you have those personal loans in your wallet. Personal loans also carry a very high interest rate of about 15%, 16%, 17%. So, you know, you need to pay off these loans first. Okay, even if your income is impacted in these times, during the COVID-19 times, like let's say if you've had a salary cut, or if you've had a total salary cut, or if you're running a business and if your business has basically really, really suffered because, you know, customers are not walking in because of this COVID times, then try and see how else you can pay off these kind of loans, especially the expensive loans. Take a look at your investment portfolio. Take a look at some insignificant, try and search if there are anything that you can liquidate in your investment portfolio and pay off the debt. Okay. Like for example, if you have a costly insurance policy, or let's say this is not, maybe you will not be able to do it right away, but let's say if you have a real estate that you are not using it, or it's an excess in your portfolio. Okay. Try to sell some of that. Or try to sell some of a poor performing mutual fund, a bad performing mutual fund, or an insurance policy which you don't need. Anything which you can generate money to pay off these dangerous debt, pay off these dangerous loans. That is something that you can do as far as your loans are concerned. And last but not the least, do not take any fresh loans in this period. Because there are a lot of fintech companies out there that are offering you loans for all sorts of excuses. Like let's say if you want to pay your monthly rent, if you want to get married, or you want to buy a television set. Don't take any fresh loans right away.
Kezad, we've also been talking about emergency corpus a lot in our Simply Save podcast. How important is it now?
Emergency corpus is something you rightly said, Kirtana, we've been talking about for the past 1 year, ever since we started this podcast series. But, now is the time when your emergency corpus is actually needed. Okay, it's the most basic item in your money box that you should have. So this is a corpus basically meant for your contingencies, your emergencies. So what happens is that when your income stops or it drastically reduces, like it has happened with many of our friends and colleagues in these times, then you can tap into your emergency corpus to fund your day-to-day expenses. Okay, so what's the ideal amount that you should have in your emergency corpus? You should have about 6 months worth of expenses. 6 months worth of basic essential expenses must be there in your emergency corpus, so that if your salary stops, God forbid, someday, at least you can tide over your essential monthly expenses during these times. Okay, so you may not include your SIPs in this, but you must include your loans and liabilities that you are paying off, your EMIs that you are paying. That's an essential expense. You can't do it without paying your EMI. You can't do it without your grocery or eating your fruits, vegetables, groceries, etc. You know, these are the things that you need to have. So either have your 6 month worth of expenses or an absolute figure like 3 or 5 lakh in your emergency corpus to help you tide over these times. It could be a sudden medical expense where you're hospitalized. And let's say if you go to hospital all of a sudden in an emergency and it does not accept your cashless insurance. So you need to take out cash to pay in advance. So that is where your emergency corpus actually comes in. So it's a very, very important part of your money box. The way to build it is that you need to do a small SIP into a liquid fund or a low risk fund over a period of time, or a recurring deposit in a bank is also a decent idea to put it. The idea is basically that your capital should be, as far as possible, it should be safe. So that's how you build an emergency corpus.
Right. And I'm sure we'll be talking about more. We'll talk more about mutual funds in another episode.
Yes.
Also, Kezad, you mentioned medical expenses. Now, this is a really, I mean, we should be keeping an eye on our health insurance. But companies are also providing health insurance. Would that be enough to cover us for any emergencies at this point?
See, Kirtana, my answer is no. Why I'm saying this is because, you know, your company's insurance is only there till your company is there, till your job is there. Okay, the moment you leave your job and you go to another job, your company insurance ceases. It stops overnight, immediately. Okay, or suppose let's say if your company shuts down, then also you lose your insurance overnight. So you should always have a personal health insurance with you, your own personal health insurance policy with you. Okay, if you have your company insurance, well and good. If you need to use your health insurance, always go and use your company insurance first and exhaust that. And only after that is exhausted, then you come fall back on your personal insurance. But what happens tomorrow if you change the job or if the company goes through very tough times, like in these COVID-19 crisis times, in which case, you know, your company insurance can go for a toss. So which means you need to have a personal health insurance of your own. Now, how much insurance is needed? An individual must have a cover of at least rupees 5 lakh. And a family of four must have a family floater policy of at least 10 to 15 lakh. That's how 10 to 15 lakh, 1-5. So that's how much health insurance you need to have. Okay, you can also have a health top-up policy with a deductible. So that's a very cheaper way to sort of increase your health cover. And we'll talk more about that again, Kirtan, in another episode in this special series when we talk about insurance. But to answer your question, yes, your own personal health insurance is absolutely vital.
Right. And what about life insurance, Kirtan?
Life insurance is also critical, especially in these post-COVID-19 pandemic. Okay. Now, your term insurance, basically your life insurance is nothing but your term insurance. It's a pure insurance cover. Okay. If you die, your nominee will get a certain sum of money. If you don't die and if you survive, then you don't get anything. So this is a pure insurance in its purest form. Okay. Now, how much term insurance you should have? You should have a cover of at least 10 times your annual income. Whatever your annual income is, you multiply that by 10 times and that should be the insurance cover. One thing you should remember is that if you die of your, so something happened to you because of COVID-19, it will be covered under your life policies. Okay, you don't need to buy a separate policy for COVID-19. The Life Insurance Council, Kirtana, has recently clarified that life insurance insurers do not have a force majeure clause. So this basically, so it doesn't absolve them of the responsibility to pay claims in case the cause of the policyholder's death is COVID-19. So in very simple terms, Kirtana, these claims will be payable. So you need to have a life insurance in addition to the health insurance. It's important.
Right. Lastly, Kezar, let's talk about the Employees Provident Fund. Recently, the government had announced that we have a choice to withdraw it. But you also said that we need a decent emergency corpus. So does that mean that we can withdraw that right away? Or
see, Kirtana, that's precisely what I was saying is that, you know, if you have an emergency corpus in place, if you have your emergency corpus, then you do not need to tap into your EPFO. Your EPFO is your retirement corpus. So yes, the government has given you the flexibility to withdraw from your retirement corpus if you are stuck in a bad place financially because of COVID crisis. But that does not mean that you should reach out to your EPFO. Your EPFO, remember, is a retirement corpus. You need this corpus at your retirement when you are old to ensure that you remain financially independent. You don't want to be dependent on your children at that age, do you? So, you know, liquidating your retirement corpus for your current expenses is the very last thing that you should do. Instead, you can look at your existing investments, you can look at your, let's say, an unused real estate that you may have and try to liquidate that to generate money to tide over these times. Your retirement corpus should be the very last thing that you should be touching.
Right. Thank you so much, Kezar. We hope to talk more in detail about each of these topics.
My pleasure, Kirtana.
With that, it's a wrap on this episode of Simply Save Podcast. But we will be covering each of these topics in detail so that we all know what to do financially and we're all prepared for this pandemic, especially when we're facing job losses and loss in income. So if you have any other queries for us or any other topics you want us to cover, please do write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.